You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Still thinks they could pass for college students.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio. I don't know who is claiming that in this room.
Is that the consistent, like, angry ageism theme coming from Jason Zumwalt?
I think it might have been a reference, yeah, to the concert goer.
It's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis, Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Yeah, Mark went to Coachella. What of it?
Why is it made such a tremendous deal of?
I don't know.
It seems like someone else has issues with it much more than I do. I came, I went, I've moved on. It's now, was it Thursday? It's Thursday.
The most surprising thing about it was you are a self-admitted, not a music guy.
Yeah, but
that was the only surprising thing.
Well, first of all, that's an over explanation that's off base. Like, I do like tons of music. I went there and found new stuff that I liked, but there's about 7,000 other things that you can accomplish there and see and do. Mm.
So, you know, get off his back is what – that's the takeaway here.
Who's they?
Well, we're going to have to ask our
producer. I mean, they came back here with all these production elements attacking my weekend choices.
Yeah, like, what's going on? What's going on behind the scenes?
Who propelled you to go down that road, Justin?
I didn't write that drop, but I did receive it a little while ago, and I thought, based on the things that had happened earlier this week on the show, that it made sense to be, you know, a follow-up to yesterday.
I would imagine that not all layers of the pre-planning process have been revealed to myself.
The narrative was in place, you're saying, Justin, and you were just extending the narrative.
Right.
The through line of this week's
I always try to find a Zum drop that relates to what is happening in the show. And
right.
I
that's so just good that's producing. You know what else would be good producing? Suggesting that, you know, it's the off season. We've got some extra breathing space here. We should do the 7,000 things at Coachella not involved in music that you can get into podcast. I think that'd be fun. It's maybe a bit of a mouthful, but I'd like to hear all 7,000.
Be happy to
ranked.
Host that.
And I think Zumwalt
and
any writers behind the scenes might have some that might be more material.
Yeah. Exactly.
Unbelievable.
It all folds into one seamless production.
Speaking of our producer, Justin Graver, there had been, as I understand it, this was a little surprising to me, but people aren't clear on some details of our live round one stream of the NFL draft and what exactly it is. I guess we didn't do.
Me included, by the way, so feel free to.
We didn't do the job that we were trying to do in the last show in terms of explaining what it is. So do you want to perhaps provide clarity to those members of the audience and Mark?
Absolutely. I would love to. So we're going to be live on YouTube during the first round of the draft.
Who's
next
talking
Thursday
right now, by
night.
The way?
I played it. Well, Dan was
did.
Oh,
you did.
But just sorry, for you, just Greg. During the first round of the draft, next Thursday night, April 27th, we'll be live at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, basically to watch the first round of the draft. If you guys have ever wondered what's it like to watch the draft with the ATN Heroes, this is your chance. We're not going to be broadcasting the draft footage or coverage. So sort of like a compendium. Put the draft on your
compendium?
TV, on NFL Network.
Well done.
Open up your laptop, your tablet, your phone, stream the ATN show, and hang out with us during the draft.
Were people wondering if we'd be tipping picks or something like that? Like,
I think people were wondering if we would show the like Goodell announcing each pick or anything like that. We won't be tipping picks. We won't be doing any of that. We're just going to be like hanging out, watching the draft. So join us. It's going to be fun.
And I love the word compendium. Well, I also want to say, like, if people don't want to do it in concert with the telecast, I say you should and watch NFL Network. But we're going, as soon as the draft pick is made by Roger Goodell, we're going to repeat it as well. So we could be a one-stop shop if you need us to be as well.
We certainly will be mentioning it. We will not be calling it a compendium, though. Compendium? Yeah. I think you were trying to think of addendum. I don't even know. A compendium is a summary, according to dictionary.com, a brief treatment or account of a subject. I don't think it works in this context.
Companion?
In any way. Companion or addendum, I guess.
I don't think a compendium would be 3+ hours long.
No, it's either way, it's not a word that makes any sense in the context you used it.
English is kind of hard, you know.
It was fine, Justin. You just roll with it.
An auxiliary.
You can tell Greg to shut up, too.
I think it's an auxiliary
show. I mean, if we're going to give him props.
It's a nice word.
There's some people that have told me they've learned English by listening to this podcast.
And I wouldn't
I wouldn't want to
lead
them astray.
Today's show, good one. More draft coverage. Mike Tannenbaum, former front office GM and executive vice president. He's done it all in our league, and now he's an insider for ESPN. And a friend of the show. This is not Mike's first trip to around the NFL land. He's going to join us a little bit later. But before we do that, speaking of the listeners and viewers that we love oh so much, sent out a mailbag prompt yesterday. Draft questions, comments, theories. Mm. What do you got? And I thought they did a nice job.
Is that always the case? I mean, I feel like their performance goes up and down. But this time they seem primed.
I would say who's like a inconsistent, like who's known for being inconsistent in the NFL? Like you can't quite put a finger on his performance. Is he like a Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, Mayfield sort of fits that.
Yeah.
That
so
world,
we're career-wise. But this was Baker playing the Broncos on Christmas or whatever. Great performance. Let's get to it. Maybe we're shorting the audience with Baker.
Yeah, that feels a little...
For a franchise in turmoil and, you know...
How about Kirk Cousins? Well, let's do
He's
that.
He's kind of steady Eddie. Carr?
Carr's a little bit
of
a Derek Carr.
Carr's
yeah, let's go there. But that's only when it comes to the mailbag.
That's rough.
Let's go through some questions that kind of jumped out that were solid. Justin, let's go. You want to read them, Justin?
I'd be happy to read them.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. At Dan, at around the NFL.
You don't need to. Yeah, that's
okay. Well, okay. This one I did because it's where do you, Dan, and each of the heroes want to see Richardson land? Also, I implore Mark to flex his third eye after his stay in the desert to peek into the future and relay to us whether this young man's tale be tall or tragic. Mm. That's from Jakob Bobro.
I like that one.
Very good, Jakob.
This man is celebrating 420 today. The author of the tweet.
Hey, 420, bro. Ow! 420, bro. Ow. That's a
Anthony,
shout out to our
really
friend.
Really high.
Dave Damashek, who would do that in the newsroom very often.
Very often. Anthony Richardson, polarizing, tantalizing draft prospect out of the University of Florida. Mark?
My first instinct is enough with this jazz about the Falcons telling us that Desmond Ridder is the second coming of someone else. Like, just go get Anthony Richardson. I love the idea of him being developed there in a run-heavy offense that can use everything he does. You can use Ridder this year and let Richardson grow into what he is. I think Richardson's someone who's we're going to be like, oh, he's a raw project who will be starting by the second half of week two.
Yeah, I'd love to see him with the Lions. That was my easy choice. Like, I think the Seahawks should take him. It's taken me a while to get to this point because you know how I feel about Geno.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think with their system and the way they develop players – I think the Seahawks actually should take Richardson because it's such an opportunity at the top of the draft. But I don't think they will, and I will be happy that they don't if the Lions grab him right after that and he's the quarterback of the future there.
Exciting. If the Falcons come out of this draft with Desmond Ridder and then all these different free agents they brought in, I'm going to ether their asses on Saturday night. Go get a quarterback.
I'm looking forward to Desmond Ritter.
They're interesting if they get a quarterback that you can really get excited about. Some people think that's Desmond Ritter. Raise your hand if you're out there. Next.
All right, next question from Blair Kerrigan. Quote, intangibles. Quote, get out of jail. Phrases used by GMs league-wide. First question, over under how many times this will be uttered on draft night? And second part, top 10 drinking game words for draft night.
Ooh.
That's good. Let's see.
I mean, value, you would be drunk if you just use the word value.
Aaron Rodgers, you'd be sauced.
Let's see. What is it, bendable?
Yeah, I think bendable, I feel like, is sometimes can be a little more of a day two or day three where they're really doing the old stretch for content. Whatever we need to do, talk about is how the way his legs and ankles move.
Trade up, trade back, tremendous upside.
Upside.
High motor guy. You could do a bingo card. You really could. Mm-hmm. Sleeper pick. Student of the game. That's a good one.
Intangibles is annoying because, like, intangibles could mean literally anything. Off the field means almost anything. Like, Jalen Carter, for instance, has a very serious thing that happened in his life that changed his life, and I think that should be considered. But I've seen it kind of thrown that in, like, the fact that, oh, does he play hard every play? Like, and they just throw it into one big intangibles bucket. And it's like, you got to spell it out, what you're talking about.
Does he pass the eye test?
He does. That's a good one.
And as for the over-under, I would say intangibles on the – you're talking about the – and everything we drive through the NFL Network telecast, the 8 o'clock to 11 o'clock or whatever, Eastern NFL Network telecast, I'm going to say 14 and a half.
For intangibles.
I'll set the over-under.
Best available player, that's one. Here's one that annoys me. It's like, oh, you can plug him in for 10 years. Like,
plug
that's a 10-year starter. Plug and play, 10-year starter. It's always 10. And it's always a guard.
Right.
And by the way, guards like haven't been that safe picks in general, but it's always like, oh, plug and play, 10 years.
This guy was – his pro day was unbelievable. All right, what else we got?
I like this one, by the way, trash can full of dirt.
I don't even know
what does that even mean?
Yeah, that's pretty common. You know, maybe we should make a bingo card for our draft show next Thursday and play this game as it goes.
Great,
I don't know.
Great call.
We'll talk
defensive
about
linemen
great
who are hard to move out of the way, a trash can full of dirt. Have you ever tried it?
That's pretty good.
It's a heavy object.
I think we could come up with a fun list. We would be drinking, though, Gatorade.
Right.
The official NFL sponsor.
And Pepsi.
Sounds
so much
Greg.
Pepsi. let's get a big whiteboard, a bingo board.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'd be fun. All right. Next question from Joe Lifton. A draft theory, actually, not a question. The Detroit Lions will take two D linemen and/or edge rushers with their picks at 6 and 18, and defenses across the NFL will be overwhelmed with this talent, complementing Hutchinson and Houston, and the Lions will surpass the 70 sacks of the Eagles.
Okay, so that 70 sack, that's a high number. I don't know about all that, but I totally believe they should do the old, speaking of tropes and cliches, I think the Lions should think very hard about doing the all-defense draft, where you the team that feels like it's only one side of the ball that's giving them trouble, and then they very consciously only draft players on that side of the ball. I feel like the Cowboys have done that 3 or 4 times under Jarrah in the last 10 years or so. I love the idea of them going and getting, whether it's Will Anderson or Tyree Wilson. Just
Carter might fall to them at 6. That would be crazy.
You know, Carter next to Hutchinson would be
pair
insane.
Him with Hutchinson and then have a real strength in your front 7. Because I don't think the offense – it might be asking too much for the offense to be as good as it was last year, but I don't think it's going to crater. So I love the idea of building up that defense for Dan Campbell and then seeing what happens.
I like the spot they're in. I don't feel like they have massive needs, so they can do whatever they want. I think they want to take defensive linemen. I think it'd make more sense at 6 because it feels like defensive linemen get pushed up a lot. This class seems not super deep, and taking one again at 18. They have taken Hutchinson, Onwuzurike, Josh Pascal, Aleem McNeil, and there's another one I think that's not even on the team anymore that slips my mind. That they've taken a lot of linemen under Dan Campbell.
I mean, Hutchinson worked out so far. That's part of it, is like actually hitting on these draft picks. The Detroit Lions have been drafting top 5 for like 7 eons in a row.
And remember, the Lions, they get 4 games against the Bears and the Vikings. Well, maybe the Vikings will be better on defense
this
year.
That is some Viking shade.
Their defense was wretched last year.
13 team.
All right, what else?
All right. From the Strength of Record podcast, big pop for them here. If the Packers draft a wide receiver out of spite, is that what it takes for Rodgers to get his second ring, but with another team? Chip on his shoulder.
What is going on? Let's check out that wide receiver room for...
It's pretty rough.
The Packers. It would be kind of ironic if Rodgers is gone and they use the first round pick after having two
Watson
last year.
It's Watson and Dobbs are their one and two, which seems insane.
Lazard is obviously gone now there too.
It seems insane. And they don't have a three. Samari Torre, I guess.
And they had two first round picks last year in a great wide receiver class, and they punted on it. And now they're almost desperate for a wide receiver, and it's not seen as a great wide receiver class. So, of course, they will probably take a wide receiver.
It looks like spiteful timing, but I mean, if you suddenly are going to roll with Jordan Love, which they are, like, you have to build – it's not the same thing with Aaron Rodgers where you trust him, his smarts, his pre-snap, et cetera, to do it all for you. Like, Jordan Love needs to be surrounded by human beings that can help him out.
They might be looking at the Greybeards lineup and seeing
– Jarvis
they
Landry.
They need to bring in some veteran. They need a tight end, too. So I think they could take the first tight end off the board at 14. Wouldn't be totally shocked.
And as for the Strength of Record podcast theory here, I do think there is some juice to get behind about Rodgers. All the great ones will find motivation and try to stick it to the Packers this year. I don't know if it's going to be the Packers drafting a wide receiver that really is what gives them the eye of the tiger, though. So, no, I don't think that's going to do it. But check out the Strength of Record podcast.
What is it
about?
Unless
it's like a horrible,
five times
like,
a week.
Yeah. I don't know. What is the Strength of Record podcast?
Is it a football podcast?
Didn't look into it. I don't know. Okay.
Dangerous.
This one comes from Robert Kimdiche's burner.
Oh, Kimdiche.
Going into last year, it was the consensus view among analysts that Seattle had one of the worst rosters in the league, a narrative that proved totally wrong. Which team or teams with a good draft class could exceed expectations in terms of roster talent this year?
The first thing that comes to mind is if they go quarterback, which they're going to, and they get it right, and the quarterback plays right away, the Carolina Panthers. I think there's a lot of talent on both sides of the ball, and you've got that Frank Reich coaching boost. A lot of chaos has been put away, and I think there's just they've played without a quarterback for ages. Things could change.
I think that was a perfect choice. I don't know if I can top it. The Falcons, I think, have a chance. The rest of the roster, they've just signed a lot of okay guys, but the okay guys are upgrades over what they have, and so I think they're only a couple pieces away. They would be another one, but I like the Panthers answer better.
I will throw out the Chicago Bears, who have.
Can't be a lot worse.
Draft assets, and they have added some bodies in there, and Justin Fields hopefully is fully healthy. I think with a good draft class, they could be a team that is in contention in that division potentially. That's a wide-open division, I think, the NFC North. It's an interesting division. Fields is the key, and he needs help. All right, more mailbag to hit, but let's pause for a quick break.
You go into your shower feeling tired. But as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
All right, we're back. Here we go.
This next question comes from Will Savage. Is the Colts moving up to 2 or 3, I guess, to get Stroud or Young a real possibility? Would the Texans be willing to trade down? I'm assuming he means doesn't with it, the Colts.
Doesn't it feel like Jim Irsay has something up his sleeve?
Did you see his tweet?
No.
He basically said we can move up, we can move down, we can do it. We can sit right where we are and get someone. They're going after a quarterback.
Wait, so what did that tweet actually, what was he saying?
He's saying, would the Texans actually trade down to the
Colts? No, but what is Jim Irsay saying with that?
All options seem available to the Indianapolis Colts in terms of what they'd be allowed licensed to go do. Get crazy.
He also, didn't he sent out the pictures of the different quarterbacks?
Yes, he did.
It's preposterous. I like the theory. I think I saw it from Trevor Sikkema. Apologies if I pronounced it wrong from PFF, who thought the whole Texans, we're going to not draft a quarterback smokescreen is all about getting someone else to trade up to the number 3 spot. And they end up actually taking a quarterback at the number 2 spot. And that leaves the Colts out in the cold and not getting their quarterback, which I like that as a theory. Because why are the Texans putting it out there so much that they're not going to take a quarterback? Maybe it's the truth, but I don't trust anything. They are absolutely letting national reporters know that's their plan.
So they're going to go to those extreme lengths just to essentially pull one over on the Colts? That's so savage.
I think it would just be it's
overly complex.
It's maybe
Will
part
Savage
of it.
Is yeah. what it is.
How about Colts focus on yourselves? And same with Texans.
I think the Colts come out of this. If they gave Lamar Jackson the cold shoulder to this point have, I think there is no way they don't come out of this draft where they are right now with somebody they really are feeling good about.
Could be Will Levis. DJ keeps saying a lot of teams like Levis.
Okay.
Next question from Matt Anderson. Actually, another draft theory. Joe Douglas can't be bothered to trade for Rodgers as he's tired of the Packers games. Instead, Douglas packages picks and moves up to draft Will Levis. Thoughts?
I did think about what if there was more going on than we realize. Is it completely out of the realm of possibility that the Jets pull a shocker and take a quarterback? Is that a possibility? Probably not. We're probably too far down the road here with Rodgers for anything to happen. But at the same time, we know Rodgers is a short-term fix too. We don't know, even if he is a Jet, how long he's going to be there. I wouldn't rule it out, but like I said on a previous show, I would be stunned if they do anything else but take a offensive tackle on night one.
I mean, if you're Joe Douglas, first of all, if this Rodgers thing ever went south and there was a plan B, that's not going to be received well no matter what. But if you're Joe Douglas, part two, the idea of drafting a rookie who 2 months into the season, you realize this guy also is not working out a la Zach. It's you have to go get Aaron Rodgers because it's the one thing, even if he is substandard Aaron Rodgers, no one's going to blame the Jets for having gone and done that or Joe Douglas for going and get it done.
I appreciate how quiet it's been, actually. Yeah, we would be getting on Rodgers saying he wants so much attention if there'd be keeping the drips and the drabs over the last month. It's just been quiet. I don't
We're
think there's
all
any
trying
chance.
To be patient here.
I think he's a 100% a Jet.
Right. It's just happening.
It would be wild though. They turn in that draft card and it's a quarterback.
It'd be a great draft moment. I would be glad to be on a live stream with you at the time. Just let's get this trade done Thursday night though.
That would be cool.
Because we're not doing a live stream for rounds 2 and 3. And just think about the content. Help us out.
Think about our content specifically.
We have done our Aaron Rodgers emergency podcast already, though. That's filed.
True.
So
we did have a live stream of Mark Sessler when Johnny Manziel
forever
was drafted.
We invented the live stream.
It was actually
that.
Just a video on a cell phone, but it went on the
Let's
internet.
Let's do a quick speed
depressing.
Round.
Okay, quick speed round from Jeff Yates. With Joe Mixon's off-field and contract situations, how are the Bengals being slept on for a destination for Bijan Robinson?
Mm. Yeah, I love that.
Well, they'd have to trade up. I don't think they're going to get him there, and I think Gravedigger.
Where are the Bengals right now?
28?
He's absolutely a Bengal if he's on the board there, but I just don't think he'll be on the board.
But if they moved up 28 to 18 or something, who knows?
Yeah, you know? I love the idea.
That would be, there'd be a lot of excited people in Cincinnati. What else?
Let's say the GM app is real. Which GMs would have the hardest time actually using it? Which would have the easiest?
Okay, I looked. I did see this, and I was thinking about this. I think Jerry Jones would struggle.
He's got Steve in there.
More ageism.
At, yeah, but at various times of the day, I think he'd struggle for various reasons. Okay. I don't think Bill. I think Bill Belichick is kind of cute that he wouldn't be good, but maybe he would be. I don't know.
Well, we've seen him struggle with cell phone and texting and. It led to a major lawsuit against the NFL.
You're right. That's really evidence.
That was a bad beat for Bill.
There's so many young GMs that I think that the vast majority would be absolutely fine with it.
Mm. We need a GM app, though. How much longer can we deal with this?
I don't think John Lynch super mobile. I don't know why. He just seems like he's not living in that world.
All right, keep going, Justin.
What? All right, I think Lynch we have time for a couple more only.
All right.
From Johnny Eastgate, Mark Sessler's mock draft, the highlight of any draft buildup. When's it going to happen? I know we talked about this, but
I think Wednesday.
Wednesday. Yeah, without fail.
Yes.
All right, last question from Sean Black. For each of the heroes, who's your guy in the draft?
All right. Who wants to start?
Well, so on the episode where Claybon and Colleen joined, we each picked a draft, our guy. And it went right through there has been no grumbling about the fact that it went right through all the clearinghouse boards and all the executives. I picked Joey Porter Jr. because I love the idea of him going either to the Steelers where his father played or in a major chaotic scenario going to like the Ravens or something where he goes to their number one rival. I just was pointing out that it always annoyed me as a younger Browns fan when the Browns, who were searching for any sense of identity or help, passed on Clay Matthews Jr. or everyone who passed on J.J. Watt's brother. It's like, let's stop overthinking these things and picking like the bloodlines we know are going to succeed. This is like a 6'3", 193-pound defensive back who can hammer people. Joey Porter Jr. is my guy.
Pro-nepotism. Nepo baby.
He is officially, in this case, your guy.
I am saying if you're going to go down Nepo Road,
yeah,
get it right. And all this right. is one way to get it right.
Go ahead, Greg.
So many options. I mean, Anthony Richardson is the guy I'm going to be the most excited to watch and rooting for, but he feels too top shelf to pick as
you must got to go non-quarterback.
So I got to think about our upcoming guests here, Mike Tannenbaum, and go Tajay Spears from Tulane, the running back who you can just see placing him in there, and he's going to fall the second or third round, and then he's going to have a Matt Forte-like career. I know he's a different player than Forte, but excellent vision, the way he can make people miss in small areas. He's good on all three downs. He is a player, and he's going to be repping the green wave.
He is officially your guy.
Let's go to the kicker club. I like Eddie Ogamba out of South Dakota. He's got a howitzer. Little inconsistent, though. Ty Zentner out of TCU.
You got to pick just one year guy.
Yeah, I'm just narrowing it down here. We have Jonathan Cruz out of Ole Miss. Very talented. He's got a big boot.
Big booty,
Tanner
too.
Brown, OSU, 95% last year, 22 of 23. And he split the uprights from 53. But his leg's not huge. So I'm going to tell you my three guys that I really wrestled with here. Chad Ryland out of Maryland. Guy was Mr. Automatic last year. Hit 250-plus bombs against Michigan. He could be drafted. I like Christopher Dunn. A lot of people say Christopher Dunn out of NC State. He's your guy. He's the Lou Graza winner. He's got a ton of swagger, which can go both ways. Monster leg, hit 96.6% field goals. But my guy, he's out of the U. Michigan's Jake Moody. Two-time Lou Graza finalist. He has one win. Hit a 59-yard field goal. In the most recent college football playoffs, the longest ever, 64% touchback rate on 100 kickoffs. He was tremendous in the Shrine Bowl. I think he's...
That's what they say.
He could be a fourth rounder on Saturday. Jake Moody is my guy.
Bold.
He is officially your guy.
So, that's it. All right, let's take a break. You have any questions about the kickers?
I was a little surprised. You went through like eight different guys. Moody, look, when you hit a 59-yarder in the college...
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. Crying. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Ball semifinals. That's Hansus material.
Yeah. Yeah. You will see him on Sundays. Let's take a break and get to Mr. T. Welcome back. Our next guest is Mike Tannenbaum, a.k.a. The Real Tannenbaum. Not verified, but nobody is anymore. A.k.a. the ESPN Insider, a.k.a. former front office poobah in New York and Miami. And a man once said, it's been said of this man that no one handles billionaires in conversation better than Mike Tannenbaum.
Whoa.
And now he's on with us. Decidedly not billionaires, but I still feel good about the combo. What's up, Mike?
That's something I've been called a lot. I never realized I had that moniker as well.
You've never heard that before?
No. I mean, that's – look, you worked for some powerful people back in the day, but now you're doing the real fun stuff, draft prep.
There's nothing like it. People say what it's like. It's like an open book exam. You better know 2 to 3 sentences and quickly get to your notes.
Mm.
Well, thanks, Mike, for joining us, and yeah, I guess we're going to go in a few different directions here, but I was curious, because of your experience in front offices, kind of start here. What is, for you, the most difficult position when it comes to player evaluation? Is there a position in where it comes to game tape in college where it's most likely to betray you at the next level? Like, what position makes you more nervous in terms of studying in this process?
Yeah. Look, the obvious would be quarterback for all the reasons that you would think, but I would say receiver. I'll give you some example. Kevin White. Kevin White was misevaluated by a lot of people coming out, just given his production. And then when you go back and do the autopsy and look at things like route tree and sort of playbook, you know, that's when things become a little bit more complex. So you really have to have a deep dive and understand, you know, what's expected of the players, what knowledge they need to have, how fast they can play, their experience. There's a lot of things that go into a level of competition. And, you know, he's just one of many receivers that didn't work out for. Could have been a number of reasons in Kevin's case in particular. But he was somebody that I liked a lot. He didn't work out, drafted high. And sometimes when you go from varied offenses and some, I think, are the benefit of the doubt cuts against them too much. And the inverse is true, too, where some receivers get pushed down because maybe they didn't have production because of the system they were in.
Yeah, and lately it's like you can't get a receiver pick wrong. They almost all seem to work out, and this seems like a class where there's going to be a lot taken in the second and third round especially. I'm thinking about what you would be doing when you were running the Jets and when you were running the Dolphins at this time in the process, like a week before the draft, and what you think a team, specifically the Texans, are doing with these reports that come out there to the point where it seems like it's intentional that they're getting out there, that they might not be taking quarterbacks. Like, what do you think that's about? And how are you laying the groundwork as a GM, as a decision maker over the next week, kind of leading up to the draft?
Well, let me tell you guys a story, because it's a cliche, but I lived it and probably lived the most dramatic moment in recent memory with the NFL draft, which is you really need to be prepared for everything. And in the 2016 draft, the number one player on our board was Laremy Tunsil. And for a lot of that draft moving into that year, Tennessee had the first pick, and everyone thought Tunsil would be the first pick. They need a tackle, and let's move on. We had a good, not great left tackle at the time, and Brandon Albert and Chris Greer, our GM at the time, who's still there, to his credit, you know, we went through the process of making sure that we thoroughly researched Laremy. And as we know, like, he had a bump in the road, and on draft day, like in real time, it was an unbelievable drama. In the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, like, Baltimore is going to need a tackle. They make a lot of great decisions. I'm sure they're going to take him. And when they took Ronnie Stanley and not Laremy, I was like, gosh, like, I looked at Chris Greer. I looked at Adam Gase, Steve Ross, our owner, one of my billionaire conversations, and said, hey, you know, we went through this process. Matt Winston, who will be a GM one day, was an area scout, went into Ole Miss in the fall when it was quiet. And lo and behold, there he is at 13. And, you know, 6-7 years later, he's still one of the best, if not the best, left tackles in football. So to answer your question, Greg, like, you really have to say, like, hey, if we're picking at, in Houston's case, two, and we trade back to seven, we better have seven players that we are rock solid on, because something crazy is going to happen. And I don't know, is it maybe Anthony Richardson going before C.J. Stroud? Like, that would not shock me. I would be surprised, but I wouldn't be shocked if that happens, guys.
So you are in the world now. When you were a general manager, everything was behind closed doors. You were in a secret world. Now you're having to put out mock drafts. And I know that the element of your most recent mock draft, the Hendon Hooker to Seattle, absolutely drop jaws. And, like, people were just, how can you do this? How can you put him there? Like, well,
Mike, how dare you?
I love how much, because I've listened to some of your stuff, how strongly you've come out in favor of him, and that he's a little bit lost in the mix because of the knee injury, his age. You know, why would Seattle do this? Why does it make sense? Explain to me why you made this pick.
Yeah, and I'm just making sure that you're talking about my feedback on my mock draft, because there was nothing negative that I saw on Twitter.
No, okay. Well, no, I guess it's just a few things. You know, when you lose that blue check mark, it gets tough.
I paid for my blue check mark. Is that not?
Oh,
there?
He kept it. Oh, he just assumed.
Tannenbaum kept it. Breaking news. Mike T. coughed up the $8.
Or ESPN did, or someone. We don't know.
No, ESPN did it. And I will say this. I am not a billionaire, and I spent $8. So both those things can be true. But, you know, for me, guys, like, you know, you talk about, like, I will say, like, I've seen receivers struggle sometimes, again, with the transition. And obviously quarterbacks, there's a lot to be said. And I've learned a lot, both highs and lows. But when you fundamentally look at the biggest challenge, in my opinion, with quarterbacks, it's experience. And there's nothing like game experience for quarterbacks. Hendon Hooker has started 37 games. And if he was healthy, guys, he may be the first pick in the draft. He has prototypical size. He has a great arm. And I'm telling you, he has rare character. I saw it with my own eyes with two different situations. One was the Orange Bowl. I'm on the sidelines. I'm supposed to be scouting, you know, Tennessee in pregame. I am just kissing Peyton Manning's ass, trying to get on the Manning cast. So I'm not paying attention. And I'm watching Hendon Hooker, who's not playing. He's in the huddle with his teammates, as passionate as he can be, in a very meaningful way. Fast forward 3 weeks later, I'm covering the practices for the Senior Bowl. I'm on the field, guys. And here's Hendon Hooker, who cannot play in the game, in the huddle, in a practice on a Wednesday afternoon in Mobile. And I said to him, like, what in the world are you doing, Hendon? He's like, hey, I'm just trying to help my teammates get better. And somebody's like that vested, like, nobody would have blinked if he just left Tennessee, went out to California with one of those QB gurus. Nobody would have held it against him. But here's a guy that was vested at Tennessee despite transferring. here's a guy that was at the Senior Bowl at every rep. Like, that's who I want to be my battlefield commander. And then when you throw on the fact that he led the nation in yards per pass attempt, and I push back on the notion of Tennessee's offense and how, you know, four wide and how quick they were. I understand there's going to be some challenges in the transition, but if he goes to Seattle at, let's say, five, they did a wonderful job of extending Geno Smith. There are some outs on the contract. And I just think the old axiom, guys, of win for today and develop tomorrow fits really perfectly between Geno Smith and Hendon Hooker.
Mm. I mean, you've got him as your top quarterback overall. So it's not just you think he would fit well in Seattle. You think he's going to be the best player at the position in 5 years. You have Bryce Young next and Richardson third, and then Stroud and Levis. That is bold. That's your guy, Mike. Hendon Hooker's career and your career is now – it's together. Everyone's going to think of you when they think of Hendon Hooker.
You'll have to get a tattoo on your bicep.
How do you know I don't have one?
Prove it.
But look, you know, you have to look at talent and character, and I think he has both. I don't see any holes in his game. I do wish sometimes offensively they stress him more, which they just don't. But he's an underrated athlete. The age doesn't bother me. The experience is a factor in a positive way. And I just think when it's all said and done over the next 5 years, while I love Bryce Young and his foot quickness and how quickly he plays guys, like, the statistics are against Bryce Young. Like, if we were running an insurance company and we had a bet based on data, the data is against Bryce Young. I think he'll be an exception, but that's why I would give the benefit of the doubt to Hendon Hooker over Bryce Young.
It's not always the buzziest pick, for the, especially fan bases that wait all, you know, for months ahead of the draft, and then Thursday night comes, and then you grab that offensive lineman in the draft. But at the same time, people who know is these winners are built in the trenches. Peter Skoronski at a Northwestern, who's a big-time player. The belief among some people is that he could be a Canton-level player if everything clicked. Are you that high on him? Do you see him head and shoulders above the rest of the linemen that are expected to go high in this draft?
Yeah, I like him a lot. I don't know if he's Quentin Nelson, but I think he's rock solid. And if I'm the Bears, I think he's a force multiplier. I plug him in. I start him at guard. Ironically, going back to Tunsil, you know, we put Laramie at left guard for a year. And candidly, that was an ideal. Like, he was a little uncomfortable at first, but he slid out to left tackle a year later, and the rest is history. And I think, you know, they could certainly do the same thing in Chicago. I think he has a really, really high floor. You know, there's a lot about his arm length, but he's very functional. He's very strong. He's tough. So to me, I don't think there's a lot of downside. And when you're the Bears, like, let's see Justin Fields with a really good offensive line. And I think there's no better example today than the Eagles. Look, Jalen Hurts has great talent, great character. He's a marked improved player, but I think part of that is the offensive line he's playing behind.
All right. So when your career began way back when, it was Bill Belichick who, I believe he read a book that you tried to publish about football scouting, etc., and decided to hire you way back when. So you understand Bill Belichick.
I want to hear more on that.
Wait, well, how did he read it if it wasn't published?
Well,
I had so many questions.
You could explain that, but you got copies to people. Did not Bill Belichick read something that you wrote? Is that correct?
That is correct. So I actually put out, it was 60 books that I sent to every head coach and GM.
Yeah.
While I was at Greg Rosenthal University's law school. I was at Tulane, and I was an unpaid intern for the Saints, and I was very lucky, guys. The first year and a half that I was in the NFL, I was an unpaid intern. The salary cap came in. I just took notes and sort of had observations about how to build a team in the salary cap era. Hmm. I got 59 rejection letters, and Mike Lombardi and Bill Belichick hired me in Cleveland for the 95 season, and I still have all the other rejection letters. I still have, like, my original binder. As embarrassing as some of my thoughts were, I think what Coach Belichick, though, was what's interesting wasn't the fact that he hired me, was the fact that he hired somebody that he thought could give them a competitive advantage, knowing that the salary cap was going to be an important part of team building.
And I love that. I love that backstory. And you were there just a couple years after Bill Belichick parted ways with Bernie Kosar, which set the city on fire. I mean, you go to New England right now, and it just feels like the energy between Bill Belichick and Mac Jones has been off for a year plus. We all know what happened last offseason. Today, as we talk to you, Will Levis is in there visiting. There just seems to be interest, potentially, that New England would look for a different solution at quarterback. Do you think that there, knowing what you do about Belichick, is there a possibility that there's levers being pulled here in a month from now? Mac Jones is just somewhere else.
Mm.
Yes, and I would not do that if I was them. But Coach Belichick would absolutely, he is beholden to one thing, in his mind, the absolute truth. The standards are the standards, and the best players will play. I think Mac Jones is a good NFL quarterback. Look, we could argue if he's top 10 or 16, but he's a good player. He took his team to the playoffs in year one, which is hard to do. And look, I don't think there's a super high ceiling, but I don't think this team is as far away. They have a great defense. Their offensive line, in my opinion, isn't what it once was under Dante Scarnecchia. But if they can get maybe another weapon or two, people that can run, I don't think Smith-Schuster changes what they are on offense. I still think they're pedestrian. If they can fix that, the offensive line, and hopefully another weapon, I think they could be right in the mix as one of the seven best teams in the AFC.
Man, how would they even do that? That's a tricky one, because if you can't get him traded and then he's your presumptive starting quarterback, you have to manage that. I'm thinking back when the Jets once went after Peyton Manning, and then Mark Sanchez was still there. Like, it's a lot. What do you think Mac Jones – I'm surprised even thinking about this, but what do you think he would cost? Like, what would you give up? If you were a team that needed a quarterback right now, what do you think Mac Jones could get for you?
Probably a second or a third round pick. You know, he's a solid quarterback. And again, like, context is everything here, guys. If you don't have a quarterback, Mac Jones looks really good. Now, I think where he falls behind is I don't see the athleticism that all the other quarterbacks that are playing at a high level in the AFC, like, let's put Tua aside because the injuries, but when you talk about Josh Allen, presumptively Aaron Rodgers, Burrow, Mahomes, Herbert, it's just, you know, Lamar, it's just one after the other. These guys are young, they're athletic, and they can really stress the defense, because not what they can just do with their arm, but with their feet. And that's what's missing in Mac Jones's game. Now, with that said, I think they go 12 personnel with Hunter Henry and Gesicki. And that can make a big difference. And Ramondre Stevenson, to me, is in a really effective runner. So what they're missing is maybe one more player that's fast, one more really solid offensive lineman. And then I think they could win a whole bunch of games, but I don't think this is helping Mac Jones. You know, I think what's hard for them is this, guys. There was a lot of things that were really special about Tom Brady. That's obvious. But part of it is like rare mental toughness and resilience in the formative years of his career. And Mac Jones may not just have those like superpowers, and somebody in his ecosystem is saying like, hey, did you see this rumor and that rumor? And, you know, we all say the same thing in this industry, like, oh, we don't read anything and it doesn't bother. Like, you know, that's bullshit. Like, everyone reads everything, and I'm sure it does impact them. So, but knowing Bill B, I don't think that's not going to stop him from doing what he thinks is right for his team.
I want to go above the treetops again here, Mike, as somebody that has, you know, such experience running front offices. Let's call them external factors, affect your decision-making potentially. If you're a GM who knows you're in a position where it's kind of a playoff or bust year, does that make you potentially more aggressive to take a big swing, or would that maybe put you in a position to go a little more meat and potatoes and be a little more conservative? Like, you've been on both sides of it. Like, does it change it's human nature. Does it change how you approach a draft, your personal job security within an organization?
Yeah. Look, it's a totally fair question. Look, I was able to do it for a long time, over 20 years. And what really served me well was like, what's always best for the organization? And if we sort of use that as a grounded tentpole as we make decisions, like, that's going to lead to more right decisions than wrong. And you hope that, you know, your boss, be it Steve Ross, Woody Johnson, whomever, isn't going to make a decision outcome determinative on any one pick. And that typically will lead you to the right decisions. And candidly, like, it's other people you're worried about more so than yourself. There's a lot of people whose, you know, families and kids and jobs like depend on the performance of the organization. And I always worried more about them than myself, and always thought like, if we just bring in really good players that are high character, that love football, we'll get more decisions right than wrong. And usually that took care of itself.
That's fair.
You drafted Darrelle Revis once. Do you have a cornerback in this draft that you like the most?
Devin Witherspoon. Well, it's funny. There's one in 1A here. Like, Witherspoon is a lot like Antoine Winfield Sr. And I hate saying that because it makes me feel so old. But Antoine Winfield was one of my favorite players, like the late, great John Butler, when they drafted Antoine Winfield at the Bills, I saw him at a game. I'm like, man, that was a great pick. He's like, well, we only drafted him to cover Corbett. I was like, oh, man, that hurts. And when you look at Witherspoon, he's from the Panhandle, wasn't highly recruited, has a massive chip on his shoulder, and he's playing linebacker in a corner body. Like, he loves to tackle. He loves to run support. Christian Gonzalez was, you know, at Colorado, transferred to Oregon, and he has more of an elegance about him. And he's a great, great athlete with great hips. Isn't the physical player that Witherspoon is, but I think they'll both play for a long time. But like a guy like Witherspoon to me, like I don't think he'll make it this far, but like, I think he is a Pittsburgh Steeler because I think he's tougher than tough. And I just see him like thriving with a guy like Mike Tomlin.
I wonder where you come in on the running back thing, because I think about the 2009 Jets and how you guys just went as far as you did by hammering people in cold weather, completely destroying their will. And there's someone like Bijan Robinson sitting out there, and it's like, oh, it's a running back, and you might only get 4 or 5 great years out of this great player. Well, that sounds like a pretty good first-round pick, relatively speaking, to begin with. But how high, like depending where you were, how high would you say, this is our guy and I'll defend it till the end? How high in the first round?
Yeah, you know what's really interesting? I had a chance to sit down with Tom Herman a couple of weeks ago. He's now the head coach at FAU in Boca Raton, and told me a really interesting story. He said, you know, as a play caller, if we thought that there was an automatic check at Texas where if he was in the slot and they thought it was man-to-man, like that's where they were going. There was nobody that could cover him one-on-one. And I think what's like a little unfair for Bijan is like, you almost hate to say it, guys, but like there's almost a stigma of like, oh, you play running back. And if you take like the position off of him and think of him as an offensive weapon, he's one of the clearly 10 to 12 best football players in this draft. So to me, if you have like a plan for him, especially out of the backfield, a little bit like a McCaffrey, a Kamara type, I think he's a top 15 player. And there's a couple teams like Buffalo and Dallas in particular, are two teams. Like, I'm really curious, like, do they maybe try to trade up for him? Because I think those are two teams that would really benefit with his skills, not just running the ball, guys. Like, again, like you see it on tape, but boy, like talking to Tom Herman, guys, like it's amazing like confidence they had in him as a route runner, and his hands and his ability to adjust to the ball.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Before we let you go, I'd want to ask you something non-draft related. The old heads know, the OGs that have been following the Hard Knocks franchise for years know that it's very difficult to top the 2010 Jets Hard Knocks season. Shout out Roscoe Diner. Shout out Mike T trying to catch as many punts as he could in his arms. Where do you come down on these teams being so openly out on Hard Knocks? I'll point out Bears CEO George McCaskey, who kind of went out of his way to say, don't pick us. Did you find it to be something that was a legitimate distraction, or is this just these teams are getting their tighty whities in a bunch for no reason?
I'd say both, guys. So let me tell you a story. We were like a finalist for the 09 year, and I was like, no, 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 we're not doing this. And everybody else wanted to do it except for me. And then after like to think about for quite a while, guys, Ozzie Newsome, who I have a ton of respect for, a longtime GM of the Ravens and great player, he made a really interesting comment. He talked about how they got better practices because when players know that the cameras are on them, they actually get better efforts. And that really like changed my opinion of it. And then NFL Films, you know, the institution, guys, is just a really, really special. Like when they talk about like confidentiality and, you know, things won't get out that are going to embarrass you, they really mean it. So it was tremendous for our franchise. We obviously had a great year, went to the championship game, despite me losing hair, gaining weight, dropping punts, not signing our best player. You know, beyond that, it was really good.
Very good. You did get it done. That, in fact, the greatest ending to any Hard Knocks season, and as a Jets fan, this might seem biased, but it's Darrelle Revis coming onto the practice field with the teammates mobbing him after that saga that played out. And Mike T got it done. And he continues to get it done, just in a different capacity. Thank you, Mr. T.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys. Really appreciate it.
All right. There he goes. Yeah, George McCaskey. The quote was, there are a number of teams that have compelling stories to tell on Hard Knocks. And then a reporter asked, that are not the Bears? And he said, 31 others.
I don't know what it is. It just
I don't get it. I
think who needs more juice than the Bears? Come on, get out there.
Like, at least half the teams around the league could use. I typically look at, like, I think things can go south because I can think of like the Hugh Jackson scenario where him in a room, you know, or bossing his other assistants around looked bad and it stuck with him. But in general, like, how most of what comes out about these teams is positive stories and getting to know people better. And like, you can't hide stuff now anyways. Why not like go and have NFL films do the best job they can with it?
Right. It almost seems like a lack of confidence. Like, yeah, we're so afraid that like they're going to expose that we're actually just, there's nothing behind the curtain. How about be like the Lions and sure, be proud of who you are, right, and America falls in love with you.
And I love that Aussie theory.
That's, I think he
nailed
it. If
there are 100 cameras watching and you could be the focus of a segment, you're probably going to bust your ass just that much harder.
Just how humans work a little bit, I think.
Maybe. I mean, and to Mike's point about them relatively, from them taking care of you ultimately, I mean, they were just following the Cardinals every week during...
Oh, they protected the Cardinals.
One of the most disastrous seasons anyone's had in a while. I wish we had made it through an episode without bagging on the Cardinals. I'm sorry. But all I mean is, like, actually, I watched most of those, and I did see some positive things out of the Cardinals that were genuine, and I thought higher of some of the people in that building because of that. And, yeah, there was other stuff on the side.
Are we visiting the Cardinals nest?
I'm a Vance Joseph fan.
Uh-oh. Not again. Ouch. Tough sitch.
Not good for birds.
Not good. Not good. All right. So, another week in the books for Around the NFL. Next time you hear from us, it will be draft week. What do we got coming up? We got a show on Monday. We haven't figured that one out yet, but we will. Wednesday, we got figured out. It's the Mark Sessler mock draft. Eagerly awaited. And also, I guess, are we going to roll out the Graver mock competition as well? I don't know. We'll have to figure that out. We'll figure that out.
Could have dueling days, but I would invite him to come. I'm not, unlike the McCaskies and the Bears, right. I invite the competition and the camaraderie.
Very good. I love that outlook on things. Thursday, we got you a doubleheader of goodness. We have the first ever live stream of round one of the draft, and immediately following that, we'll come to this studio right here and record the round one recap. And then after, you know, we reset on Friday, tracking the draft as we do. Saturday night, we recap the rest of the draft and any other big thoughts on the league that is the NFL.
I think you've said it.
Yeah. Little winners and losers usually on that Saturday.
We usually do that. We hit those winners and losers. All right, anything else?
I like your new shirt, you know?
This is a golf shirt. Took this golfing in Vegas with the buddies.
Fancy golf.
It's like Aqua Military.
It's nice. Check us out on YouTube.
Aqua Camo. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody.
and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection, and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.